Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We thank you, Father, that when we gather with the people of God, it's some of the happiest times of our lives. Thank you, Father, for the relationships that you give us within the body of Christ with brothers and sisters, those close ties that you've given us. Father, even closer, those relationships closer in the spirit, even than blood relationships. Father, we worship you and praise you for making us part of your family in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank you that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, that which you provided for him has been provided for all of the family of God. And we've been seeing, Lord, the wonderful things that you've given and knowing, especially tonight, that healing for the body is part of that provision that you laid on Jesus, our infirmities and our sicknesses, and that he bore them for us, and by his stripes we were healed. We acknowledge, our Father, that everything that we need, all things that pertain to life as well as godliness, physical things as well as spiritual things, have all been given to us by you. We thank you, Father, for that truth, and we praise you that as we're studying your word, that you are opening up these truths for us, that we might see them so clearly that we can not only appropriate them for ourselves, but that we might be channels through which this wonderful inheritance might be ministered to others. And so, Father, continue to open your word for us tonight that we might see the spirit of it, not the letter of it, that we might know the liberty and the joy and the power and the adequacy that you've provided for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, we've been, I said last week when we began our study of healing for the body, we've been talking about ministering to other people, how to help other people receive the blessings of God. And I said to you last week that when we talked about the new birth, we had two people get born again that night. And when we taught on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we had two people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And those two folks weren't here last week, so someone else gave your testimonies. And I said that I know at least two people are going to get healed this week because we ministered on healing last week. Did anybody get healed this week? Or did you minister healing this week? Well, there's three. There's three of you. God's word works. And God's faithful to perform his word. It doesn't matter how big it is, or how minor it is. He's concerned. I want you to know that God is not going to let his word fall to the earth unfulfilled. It's the word of God, and he will not let it fall unfulfilled. If we'll just trust in him, if we'll just believe it, and if we'll do what he said do, he will see that his word comes to pass. We are not responsible to perform the word of God. Listen to what I'm saying. We are not responsible to perform the word of God. It is not our obligation to see to it that the word comes to pass. We only have one obligation, and that is what? Believe it. To believe it. We do the believing, he does the doing. You with me? He's the one that performs it. He'll see to it that it comes to pass. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Never pass away. In another place, he said, it'll be easier for the heaven and earth to pass away than it would be for one tittle of my law to fail. God's word will never fail. Amen. All right, we talked last week about healing. Let's get back on it. And so we see what the word of God says about healing. We said that sickness, first of all, that if you're going to get healed by the power of God, and I guess we should say this maybe before we begin tonight. I don't think we said this last week. All healing comes from God. All healing comes from God. I don't care what channel it may be ministered through. It all comes from God. Do you know anybody that can heal a cut finger? You know any man that can heal a cut finger? I don't. Now, I know a man that can clean it out. I know a man that can treat it. I know a man that can bandage it, but I don't know a man that can heal it. Do you? Now, we can treat symptoms and we can medicate and so on, but there's only one healer, and that's God. He is the source of all healing. Who is the source of all sickness? Satan. If you're going to believe God for healing, you must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is not the author of your sickness, that He's not the author of your infirmity. We said last week that in Genesis 1:31, that when God looked at His creation, He saw it was very good. Now, I've heard all that junk, the same as you have, that God put sickness on people to teach them something, and that there are some good benefits that come from sickness, and so there's a certain amount of godliness to being sick. I want you to know that there is absolutely no godliness to being sick. There's absolutely none. If there was, God would have anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power and sent Him around making people sick. But Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He didn't make anybody sick. And if you'll read through the gospel accounts, the New Testament gospel accounts, you will find out that there's not one account there, not one, that says that a sick man or a demon-possessed man or an infirm or crippled woman ever brought glory to God. Not one. Not one. But you will find time after time after time that Jesus caused the blind to see and He caused the lame to walk, and the people saw what He did and they gave glory to God. Glory comes to God when people are healed, when they are delivered, not when they are sick. So don't you believe that junk. Now, it is true that God will work in any situation. He will use anything He can and try to bring good out of it. But the source of all sickness is Satan himself. That's where it comes from. Now, I say that without any equivocation. Its source is not in God. Now, you must settle that if you're going to believe God for divine healing. And we said last week that if you really think that God does put some sickness upon people, then it would really be a sin to go to the doctor, wouldn't it? I mean, that'd be dumb. You say, well, I believe God wants me crippled up like this. I believe He's working a good purpose. Then don't you go to the doctor, friend. You stay away from the doctor then, you see, because you're going against the will of God if you believe that's God's will. Now, if you're going to the doctor, or if you're going to the hospital, or if you're taking aspirin for your headache, see, then you are saying by your actions, I don't believe God wants me this way. And if you feel that way, then go on and believe Him for healing. Just go on and believe for divine healing, you see. Go on and get the whole thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with doctors. There's nothing wrong with hospitals. There's nothing wrong with aspirins. Praise God. If there were no doctors, most of you would be dead. And me too. You see? And to say that because God is healing today divinely, that doctors are some kind of a wicked plot of the devil, and that's wrong. And to say that no Christian should go to a doctor because of that, that's stupidity and it's presumption. I mean, I want you to know that that if my son is out here in the highway run over by a car and he's laying there bleeding and broken and dying, laying in the street, I tell you, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to walk over to him and I'm going to put my hand on him and I'm going to pray for him in the name of Jesus. I'm going to rebuke and bind the spirit of death, and I'm going to loose the spirit of life, and then I'm going to call the ambulance. Amen. See? The Bible says you shall not tempt the Lord God. Amen. And there are those, you've seen the newspaper accounts, you remember about a year ago this couple, I think, was out west somewhere in the Midwest, had a diabetic child. And they withheld the insulin. They had the child prayed for, withheld the insulin, and the child died. Well, now that's just presumption. It's foolishness. It's stupidity. And it does the cause of Christ much discredit. And that's why many, many traditional Christians, you see, just will not receive any kind of revelation from the Word about healing, because some Christian got off into presumption and foolishness. So, God's will is healing. His will is always healing. Jesus is the will of God revealed. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Everybody that Jesus ministered to was healed. I ministered to a lady today. This is a lady who is, well, she's in need of healing. And she said to me, as we shared the Word and so on, we talked at some length, and she said, well, there's a story there in the Bible about how Jesus ministered to a crippled girl. And He healed her spiritually, but He didn't heal her physically. She was still remained crippled after she was healed spiritually. I said, where is that story? She said, well, it's in the Bible there. And I said, well, where is it? She says, well, I don't know, but I know it's in there. I said, no, sister, that's not in there anywhere. I've read that book from cover to cover, and it's not in there. It's not in there. And then the Spirit of the Lord just gave me a word of knowledge concerning. I said, now, you must be careful that you do not form your theology based on what you see in the movies. You know, some of these movies that are shown, there's enough fiction in there. There's enough truth. You see, but if you don't know the word, there's always a little fiction in there too. They kind of fill in the low spaces with fiction. Amen. And if you don't know the word of God, you receive that as doctrine. And here's this lady needing healing, but she's not going to get any healing as long as she thinks that maybe God wants to heal her spiritually, but leave her crippled physically. Okay? God's will is healing, always healing. And if you're not sure about that, you read the scriptures that are in the notes that you received tonight. People do not know the provision of God. We saw it last week in Hosea. God said, my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. He said in another place, I think it's Hosea 11:3, he said, they didn't know that I already healed them. And we talked about the fact that in answer to the question, why don't more people get healed? Why don't Christians get healed? The reason they don't is they don't know it belongs to them. They don't know that God's already healed us at Calvary. And then we said last week that there's no healing apart from the Word of God. You notice what Jamie was sharing tonight? See, the healing is in the Word. The power to heal is in that Word. Don't you ever forget that. And there's no healing apart from it. The reason that people are not being healed in the churches is because they're not getting the Word on healing. Why do the people get healed here? Why do they get healed here? Because they're getting the Word. They're getting the Word. And one of the tragic things that I find is that people do not, they're Christians, they love God, but they've never had any word on healing. They've been serving the Lord for 30 years, and now all of a sudden they're deathly ill, and they need this word on healing. They've never had any of it. Because in their church, you see, their church taught them that if it's God's will, He'll heal. Or their church taught them that occasionally you get a healing, but generally the way God works today is not through the gifts of healings, but rather through doctors, and that's the only way you can get it. If you're laying on a hospital bed weighing 80 pounds and about to kick off with cancer, man, it's a little late to begin to get the word. It's a little late. And if you're in that kind of a church, you see, or if you're not in a church, then you get this thing out for yourself and begin to get your spirit fed on the word of God so that when you get it, if you get into that kind of a situation, the enemy sneaks up upon you and jerks you down, that you've got something in you to fight with. I think that's one of the most frustrating things that I encounter in ministering to people, personal ministry to people, on the area of healing or on the subject of healing, is people have never done their homework with the Word of God concerning God's provision for healing. And here they are, desperately in need of healing, either for themselves or for a member of their family, and they want you to accomplish 30 years' work for them in 30 minutes. And when you can't get them healed in 30 minutes, then they say, well, God's not healing today. Now, if they went to their doctor and the doctor said, now here's some medication or here's a prescription. I want you to go down and get this prescription filled. I want you to take it 3 times a day till it runs out. When it runs out, you call me, I'll talk to you and we'll get you something else or we'll get this prescription filled. And you do it faithfully. You go get the prescription filled. You take it 3 times a day just like. But if someone comes to me and I say, now here is your medicine. Now I want you to read this 3 times a day. And these are the scriptures. I want you to read those 3 times a day. And when you have all of those where you really got them locked down in your spirit, then you call me and I'll give you some more. You don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. See? Want an easy answer. There isn't any easy answer. The answer is right here. It's right here. But you got to get it, you see, down in your spirit. All right, now tonight we're going to talk about different ways to receive healing. There are numerous ways in the Word of God for healing to be ministered. The first one is in the book of James. And turn to it, if you will. We'll look at these different scriptures. The first one is in James. Where was that? Oh. Thank you. Hiding them from me, huh? All right. The first one is in James, the 5th chapter. It starts in the 14th verse. James 5:14. Now I want you to look these up with me because you need to know where they are. Not only for yourself, but if you're going to minister to somebody else. There is not one way to get healed according to God's word. There are many ways. God is interested in our being healed, and He has given us many different ways so that if we're not able to appropriate one, we can appropriate another. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall. He didn't say might sometimes. He said shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right, this first method then is anointing with oil and the prayer of faith. They go together. Now, why did God make this way? It's kind of a strange way, isn't it? He says, if someone's sick, that you are to call for the elders of the church, those that are called to that office and anointed by the power of God, they will come to where you are, they will take some oil, they will put it upon your head, and they will pray the prayer of faith, believing God, and the word says that you shall be healed. Now, when you, we said last week when we were talking about this, that the person who is sick is the one that's to do the requesting for the elders. Do you see that? It says, let the sick call for the elders. Now, when you call for the elders, you are releasing your faith that they have the anointing to pray this prayer of faith. I believe that when God calls a man to the office of elder, now that would include a pastor or any elder. When God calls a man to that, if he's a God-called man, that if God calls a man to that office of elder, he already has the anointing to pray the prayer of faith for healing. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, call for the elders. He'd say, call for the president of the men of the church. Or he'd say, call for the head of the ladies' Bible study. Or he would say, call for anybody in the church you want. But he didn't say that. He said, call for the elders of the church. Why? Because when I called that man to be an elder, I put my hand upon him in a special way. He has the capacity to pray the prayer of faith. And when he prays for you, it will be a prayer of faith, and you're going to be healed. Now, I know some elders that I wouldn't care have praying for me because I know that they're not God-called elders, and I know that they do not know how to pray the prayer of faith. But if a man is called of God to that office, he has the capacity. I'm not talking about elders in this fellowship, by the way. He has the power in him, you see, according to God's word. God said when he prays that he'll pray the prayer of faith and the sick will be saved. Now, is there anything magic about the oil? I'm asked the question, well, what kind of oil should you use? Doesn't matter. You can use old motor oil. It wouldn't make any difference. Now, the first time this ever happened to me, I got a call from a sister. This is before I was pastoring. I was an elder at that time in another church. And we were talking in a Sunday school class about this. We were teaching through Matthew. We got over here in this passage of Scripture in James. We weren't even talking about anointing with oil. We were talking about forgiveness of sin. As I read the passage, there was a lady sitting in the Sunday. She wasn't a member of the church, but she was sitting there in the Sunday school class that day. And James will remember her because he went with me that night along with another brother. And she heard this anointing with oil. Well, she needed some help. I didn't know it at the time, but about three or four, I think it was the following Thursday, she called Lois. And she says, is this the Rock Hill whose husband teaches the Sunday school class at such and such a church? Yes, this is a... Well, and she launched into this story about her children. She had three children who had bad ear infections. One or two of them already had had tubes installed in there, and those of you that have little kids know what I'm talking about. They had spent in the previous year something like $3,000 for medical bills on these children. It was now the month of August, and the husband had taken a second job in order to be able to pay for the extra medical care and so on. they didn't know that they had any other option until she's sitting in the Sunday school class and she heard this message, this verse of scripture that was read kind of as an aside. She said, well, bless God, he said it, and so therefore it ought to work. And she called for the elders, and she really kind of, you know, the first time this ever happens to you, you don't know quite what to do. I thought, well, you know, I can't do that. How am I supposed to, you know, get these kids healed? I'd never done anything like that before. I'd never anointed anybody with oil. Our elders didn't do that. And when Lois called me, I said, well, you know, we have to go. The Bible says it. And so, I mean, really, that's the way you minister. You minister on the strength of this word. Amen. See, this is the way I did it. You'll have to do it the same way. And of course you're going to be uneasy about it. And of course you're going to wonder whether God will really do it. And of course you're going to wonder whether you're really able. You're going to have the same attack from the devil that I did, everybody else did. So I called. I got James. He was an elder also. And I got another man who knew how to believe God. And he was not an elder, but he was a believer. And so on the way home from work that day, I thought, well, I got to get some oil. What kind of oil works? And this is what I did. Now, I'll just tell you the way it is. I thought, well, the best kind of oil would obviously be olive oil, because that's the kind of oil that they used back there in the Bible days. I mean, they pressed the olives and they got oil, olive oil. And so I know that was a big thing in that day. It was olive oil. I figured, well, if this guy said anoint with oil, I'm sure he meant olive oils. And so I went by the grocery store and picked up a bottle of olive oil. And we went over that night and anointed those children with oil, and God delivered those kids and set them free. I mean, he healed them. And I was so flabbergasted. But you see, God honors his word. And it wasn't what I did. All I did was buy had some kind of an Italian name, olive oil. And we put it in a little bottle to make it convenient to use. Went over there and talked with the children. I said to the mother, I said, now, do you believe that when we anoint this child with oil, that the children are going to be healed? She says, oh, yes, the Bible says it. I know they're going to get healed. Yeah, just took it right out of our hands, you know. And so we did. We anointed her with oil, and bang, all the kids, you see. Now, God knew we needed somebody like that. It was walking in faith to help. Okay, now what does the oil do? All through the Bible, oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. It's a type or a shadow of the Holy Spirit. And it's a symbol, you see, of the working of the Holy Spirit. When an elder anoints you with oil, I didn't even know how to do it. I didn't know whether you take the bottle and pour it on them, you know, or how you do that. It'd be kind of messy. And when you're doing those kind of things, you really like the little techniques or the things that you wonder, well, how am I going to do this? That night, I think, I don't know how we decided to do it. I don't even know how we did it. I know we didn't pour it on them. But we did. Anyway, the way to anoint with oil, a nice, neat way to anoint with oil, is just to get the hair off the forehead here, and just anoint them, just put the oil on your finger, and just anoint them on the forehead. Now, some folks will make the sign of a cross on the forehead. I'm not an artist, and it doesn't make any difference whether you make the... You see, what you're doing, though, is when you touch that person with the oil, it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit being ministered, because he's the one that has the power to do the healing. Now, why is anointing with oil helpful? Because it's something that appeals to the physical senses. It's good for believers that aren't real strong yet. You see, they can release their faith in something physical. They can reach up there and they can feel the oil and it's really been applied. It really was put on my body. And you see, believers that are operating in the physical realm, it's a good way for them to release their faith. And the word is so clear, if an elder anoints you with oil and prays the prayer of faith over you, you're going to get healed. And so it's one method. It's not the only way to get healed. It's one way. Now, I have anointed people with oil, and they've not been healed. It's not because I had a bad batch of oil. It's not because I was weak that day and wasn't praying the proper prayer. The person must release their faith in what you're doing. We have one lady here in the church. I won't tell you who she is. It doesn't really matter. But she really has her faith in this passage of Scripture. I mean, she calls me and she says, She says, Pastor, I need you. What do you need? Well, I need to have you anoint me with oil. I've been sick. I can't throw this thing off. I can't get rid of it, and I need some help. I need you to anoint me with oil. Okay. So she'll come, or I'll go, and this has happened, I guess, 3 times in the last 2 years. And we'll share some scripture, and we'll talk a little bit, you know. We'll get the scripture out and read it, and then we'll start praying. Nothing happens. But when I get the oil out, I mean, she really got her faith in that passage of scripture. You didn't just plain old Kroger, bought in a Kroger store, olive oil. It's an Italian brand, but it's, you know, in the Kroger store. And I'll take that oil, and I mean, the first time this happened, it about blew me out. Because I took the oil and put it on my finger, and I touched it on her forehead, and the Spirit of God hit me just like, I mean, the minute I touched her and hit her at the same time, and we both went off in the Spirit. It was just like getting hooked up, hooking two electric wires together. Instantly when I touched her with that oil. And that's the way it happens with her every time. And she gets healed. And there's any question about it. She knows that when the oil touches her, that she's going to get healed. Now, for her, that's her way, see? But that's not the only way to get healed. But it is one way, it's a good way, and it does work. Okay? All right, another way. Yes, ma'am?
I'm not a male, but can I use the oil?
Yes, you can. However, if the person is releasing their faith in the prayer of the elder, it won't work for you. The efficacy is not in the elder. It's not in the oil. It's in the faith of the receiver. And if the person is releasing their faith in the fact that it must be an elder, then your prayer's not going to do any good. But there's no reason why you can't. Over in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus sent his disciples out. They weren't elders. They were followers of his. And he told them that they should anoint the sick with oil and they would be healed. And they did. So it's a good question. But you must find out where their faith is. If you try to take the place of an elder and the person is believing for the elder's prayer, then it won't do you any good. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, any other questions on that one? All right, the second one then is Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Let's turn to that. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Read this aloud with me, please. Let's read the 19th verse first. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. All right, now, just stop right there. He said, if any two of you, who's he talking to here? Believers, any two believers. If any two of you should agree as touching anything. Well, he didn't really say healing, so it may not include healing, do you think? What did he say? Is healing in anything? Is physical healing in anything? It sure is. So he says, if any two of you should agree on earth as touching healing, all right, then it will be done. Anything that they shall ask, it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So don't you let anybody rob you of healing according to the prayer of agreement, because it doesn't say healing. He said anything. This is a method of getting your healing, is the prayer of agreement. Now, read with me the 20th verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, literally, this is what it says. If any two of you are gathered together on the earth, and you can agree together as touching anything, what you shall ask, he said, I'm right in the middle of you to see to it that it gets done. You see, he's talking about more there than, he said, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. A lot of folks use that as an excuse for having small church services. He doesn't mean only that. See? He says, whatever you agree as touching, he said, if the two of you are together, for that matter, one of you, one is all right. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, didn't he, in Hebrews the 13th chapter. But two of you praying the prayer of agreement and agreeing on something, Jesus said, I'm right there in the middle of you, and I've got the capacity to see to it that your prayer gets answered, that what you've asked for happens. Now, this is what you must be careful of. If you're going to pray a prayer of agreement with a sick person, you're sick, you don't have 100% of the faith, you see, that's necessary to believe, but you have half of it. And you've got the other half. And so you put your half and your half together, and now you got enough faith, you see, to believe for her healing. But you must be absolutely certain that you are agreeing together. Most of the so-called prayers of agreement are not really agreement prayers. They're not agreement prayers. Many times when you are praying for the sick, you are praying, and I find this to happen with me frequently. I'll be praying with someone who is sick, and I'm believing God for an instantaneous, immediate, miraculous healing. I mean, right now, you just get it, get up and walk, just go. Go on, get it. You got it. But the person is believing on the medication is going to knock this thing out of me in about 3 days. See? Or the doctor is, you already have surgery scheduled for 3 weeks from today, you see? And the doctor's going to heal you through that surgical procedure. And here I am believing for instantaneous deliverance, and you're believing for the surgery. Now that's all right. There's nothing wrong with the surgery, but the prayer of agreement is not going to work if I'm believing one thing and you're believing another. So if you want to believe for a surgical procedure to do your healing, that's all right. If you can find someone to agree with you, you get the prayer of agreement on that. If you are going to pray the prayer of agreement, you be sure that you know what you're agreeing for. And don't you ever pray the prayer of agreement with somebody who says, well, I got an unspoken request. Would you agree with me? That person might have an unspoken request that God will grant a divorce from her husband. That's not funny, but it's true. People do not have silent requests that you can agree with. I think Fred Price is one that says that, I like the way he put it. He said it'd be like going into a gas station and just pulling up to the gas pump, and the guy says, well, what do you have? And you say, well, it's just a silent request. So you're not likely to get what you wanted, are you? And a person might say, well, you know, God knows what I want. Well, the gas station guy might know you want gas, too, because you drove in there and he sells gas. But he doesn't know whether you're just going around the corner and want $2 worth or whether you want to fill the tank. And it's the same way with God, you see. We have not because we ask not. So we have to be careful about these silent requests. Amen. Sometimes people don't want to, they want you to agree with them, but they will not let you into their situation to know what you're agreeing for. You can't pray the prayer of agreement. Now, that doesn't mean they can't get healed. It means they can't get healed that way. It doesn't mean they can't get healed, but you can't use that promise. You can't stand on that scripture. You must be sure that you are agreeing with that person. Now, how are you going to find out? Ask them. What do you believe in God for? What is it that you want God to do for you? And get, well, I want him to heal me. Well, what do you mean? How do you want him to heal you? Last week, I ministered to a couple in a home, mother and or a husband and wife, and both of them dying of cancer. And the Lord had me to ask the two of them before I prayed with them. I said, what are you wanting God to do for you? Do you want to be healed or do you want the grace to die? I never asked anybody that before like that. And I was kind of surprised when it came out of my mouth. But if you're going to minister to somebody, you better find out where they are. Some Christians are they want to go on to be with Jesus. It's not a bad place. And so here you are, you're praying up a storm, fasting and praying and rebuking and got the whole church agreeing with you that your mother-in-law will be healed. Your mother-in-law is praying, oh, Lord, take me home. Lord, take me home. How are you going to pray the prayer of agreement? Well, I don't know if I can really ask a person a question. That's kind of personal. Well, praying's personal too. Amen. And if you're going to have an effective ministry, you've got to get right down to it with them. You say, what is it that you want God to do for you? What is it that you are believing God for? We'll talk about that a little more as we go along here. All right, the third method is in Mark the 16th chapter. There are six we're going to discuss tonight. The third method is the laying on of hands. Remember what I said now, all of these methods are promises of God whereby healing can be received. One of them is not better than another. They are all equally good. Mark 16, verse number 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, who is privileged to lay on hands?
Believers.
These signs shall follow them that believe, not them that are curious, not them that think maybe it'll work. These signs will follow believers. That means any believer. If you are born again and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believe God's word, this verse is for you. You have in you the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. In whose name?
Jesus.
In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now there's no restriction here, you see, to elders or to any specific office within the church. This is purely for believers, laying on of hands. Now what does the laying on of hands do? Is there any magic in the laying on of hands? No. But it is a point of physical contact in which or through which the person who is sick can release their faith. You share this verse of scripture with them. All right, now Jesus said that believers would lay their hands on the sick and they would recover. I'm a believer. I'd be glad to lay my hands upon you and God will heal you if you would like for me to do it and if you'll release your faith in that. Yes, yes, I will. If the person releases his faith, he'll get healed. I find it in my own personal ministry that I think I've shared this before, but it's important you know this. It was not easy for me to learn this, and I hurt a long time before I finally understood it. And I had a great deal of self-recrimination and condemnation and a great many questions about it because I would pray for... I minister more with the laying on of hands than I do with oil or these other methods. The laying on of hands is the way the Lord has me to work, has me to operate. And I will lay hands on one sick person to get healed, and I lay hands on the next one, I mean not 1 second later, and there's no healing takes place. And I used to wonder, what is going on? What is happening? Why? Until I began to see the truth of what we've talked about so many times, that we are nothing but channels through which the power of God flows into people that are releasing their faith. And the laying on of hands, you see, is a way of having people's faith released. Now, when I minister to people, I tell them this. I tell them, now, when I touch you with my hands, the power of God is released into your body at that instant. Not before, not afterwards. At that very instant, the power of God is transmitted to your body. It's delivered to you. And I'm just nothing but a delivery system. But it's delivered to your body, and if you'll just receive it and allow it to flow into you and believe what God's doing, that you'll receive your healing. Some people get healed, some don't. This very same couple that I ministered to last week, the husband and wife dying of cancer, I talked with them, shared a good bit of word with them, and we began to pray. And I know the Lord showed me this so that I could share it with you. The father was laying here, the man was laying, I had his hand. And the mother was laying in a bed across the bedroom, and the daughter, who owned the home, was in between. And I had the father's hand and the daughter's hand, and she had her mama's hand, okay? So we got the two of them on the outside that are both dying. And we began to pray. And then we began to pray in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I began to feel the power of God flow. But it was only flowing one way. It was flowing out my left hand. I could feel it physically, the power of God. Just flowing out my left hand into this Baptist lady that was standing here beside me. And then through her into her mother. Nothing flow in this direction. I didn't know why, just the way it was. Okay, now there wasn't anything different about my right hand and my left hand. My mouth is right in the middle. I'm saying the same prayer, you see. And I was praying in the Holy Ghost, so it was the Holy Spirit that was offering the prayer. When we're all done, I said to this little Baptist lady, I said, did you feel that? Did you sense that? She said, oh yes, her eyes were about this big. And then I said to her mother, I said, did you sense that? She said, oh yeah, I just feel come right in. 2 days later, the father died. The mother's still alive. Now, what's going on? There are things going on there that I don't know. I do know that the power of God flowed through me to one way and not the other way, and I was holding both of them at the same time. You see, there's anything mystical or magic about this. The way you get people healed is you give them the word and you encourage them to believe for themselves, and then you become a channel. And one person will believe it and another person won't. In the 5th chapter of John, Jesus came to the pool at Bethesda, and the scripture says there was a great multitude of sick people there. A great multitude of them. But there was only one man got healed. Only one. Why? Is it because Jesus didn't want to heal the rest of them? No. No. Because if that was true, he would be a respecter of persons. The Bible says he is no respecter of persons. He loves them all the same. Why only one man get healed? Because one man released faith in the ministry of Jesus, you see? And the same thing is happening today. Now, we are going to see in our fellowship right here more people healed when we get more word on healing. And you will find more people healed in your personal ministries as you share the word on healing, because healing comes by the word. Okay? All right, laying on of hands. Jesus ministered that way, so did the apostles, and so do we today. All right, the fourth method is in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where Paul is talking about the charismatic gifts of the Spirit, or the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. This is about the only method of healing that most church people are familiar with. In verse 9, Paul said, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The gifts of healing, or gifts of healings technically, are a way to receive healing supernaturally from God. Now, while we're there in the 12th chapter, if you'll turn over to the 28th verse, Paul said, God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. I don't find any place in my Bible that says he ever withdrew gifts of healings from the church. It says he set that in the church. He set that gift in the church. And there's no place that he ever withdrew it. Therefore, that is still in the church. That ministry. Now, what are we talking about? We are talking about supernatural intervention by the power of God without any apparent release of faith upon the receiver, and a miracle of healing takes place. Generally, these kinds of gifts are not manifested among the believers. They are manifested among unbelievers. Why is that? Why would that be? For a sign, okay. All right, why else?
It says the Spirit will, it's not so much on faith.
Okay, but why primarily in unbelievers rather than believers? No. Pardon? Okay, that's the only way they can get it, first of all. But why wouldn't he do that for the church? Because we already got the word, don't we? He's already healed us. It belongs to us in the atonement of Christ. He's given us the word. He's given us faith on the inside. He wants us to act like it and act upon it. He doesn't want us to be 25 years old and still sucking on a baby bottle. We are believers. We are heirs of these promises. They belong to us. We should be able to get our healing, boom, by faith, just like that. And that's the way he wants us to walk. We don't need signs and wonders, do we? We've already had signs and wonders. We're new creatures. We don't need signs to prove that God's real. But God will, primarily through the ministry of the evangelist, or frequently through the ministry of an evangelist, or people that are working with heathen, unbelievers, you will see the supernatural gifts of healing. You'll see great miracles. Catherine Kuhlman, for example, was one who had this gift flowing in her all just regularly. And because these great healings were taking place, she had a great many sinners and unbelievers come to her services. And the Spirit of God would begin to move and somebody could heal, you know. Wheelchair would empty over here and everybody come flocking to the altar. I want to know this Jesus. That's the purpose of that gift. And as Steve said, that in the 12th chapter there, in the 11th verse, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Holy Spirit determines when he wants to manifest himself this way. Most Christians are living, most sick Christians, are living based on the hope that maybe God would favor them with a supernatural miracle. And I want to ask you this. If the doctor's just given you 12 months to live, do you want to wait around for 12 months waiting for some evangelist to come to town who's got a supernatural ministry and hoping and praying that maybe God in his infinite mercy would draw you out of a great crowd and give you one of these gifts of healing? How would you like to spend 11 out of those 12 months hoping for something like that? Wouldn't you be smart to take the promise of God that says, and they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover? Wouldn't it be smart to get your faith, begin to build your faith on the Word of God? And you know that regardless of whether some evangelist comes to town, regardless of whether God would supernaturally identify you and decide to give you one of these miracles, that you can have it anyway. You see, for the children of God, He has provided healing by faith for every one of us all the time. Most Christians either do not know because of ignorance this fact, or they don't want to put forth the effort to receive for themselves. Now, the gifts of healing are operating in the church, but you can't operate them when you want to. See, I can't lay my hands on her and just say, oh, God, give her a supernatural miracle. It won't work. I can't do that as I will, only He as He wills. Now, if He says, son, you just speak the word to Terry Berkowitz, I'm going to heal her today. You received one like that, didn't you, in a church service? The Lord spoke to me while I was shaving one Sunday morning and said there would be somebody in the church that had I don't even remember what the thing was that she had. And in the service this morning, you just identify that person, and if the person will come forward, I'll heal her. And I issued the invitation. She came. She got healed. Okay, that's the gift of healing. You see, that's as He wills. But it's been very few times that we've seen that. But we've seen hundreds of people healed through this ministry because of God's Word, by faith in God's Word. You see, you can get it any, you can get all the time that way. All right, fifth is Mark 11, 23. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Do you know that you can be healed without prayer? That you can be healed by just saying it? Bless God, I'm healed. Bless the Lord, I'm healed. Hallelujah, I receive my healing. Body, get in line with the Word. Get healed, body. See, you just speak it. Jesus said that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, regardless of what it is, kidney infection, now get out of my body in the name of Jesus. Beat it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, regardless of what that mountain's called, it might be called lower back pain. It might be called arthritis, bursitis, cancer, headache, flu, no matter what it's called, whatever your mountain is. Whosoever, does that include you? Anybody in here is not a whosoever? Whosoever. That means anybody. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. I used to read this and I'd think about big physical mountains. Well, I believe he means that too, if it's in your way. But I think he's talking about more practical matters here. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now you underline whosoever and underline whatsoever. See, the soevers are real important in your Bible. This says, whosoever, he shall have whatsoever. Now that's pretty unlimited. Man, that is a pretty good deal. You just can't get a deal like that anywhere else that I know of. And so, just by ordering your conversation aright, and by watching what you say, you can have healing by speaking it. You have the power of death and life in your tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the 8th chapter of Matthew's gospel, you don't have to turn to it now, but just make note of it. The centurion, the Roman soldier, came to Jesus and he said, "My servant is at home and he's badly sick." And Jesus said, "All right, I'll come and heal him." And the centurion said, "It's not necessary that you to come and heal him. Just speak the word and he'll be healed. Just say it. He'll be healed." And that's exactly what he said. Spoke the word, he was healed. Time after time after time. You read the Gospels and find out how many times Jesus prayed for them. He didn't pray for the people. He didn't pray. He spent his nights in prayer, and he had himself so built up in the Spirit, all he did was speak it.
Amen.
When the blind man came, that's right. That's the way he operated. He did his praying, you see, in private so that he was a walking faith man. And when the blind man came, instead of praying for him, he took some clay and spit on it and put it on his eyes and said, "Go on down the pool and just wash it off and you'll be all right." Ten lepers came to him. He said, "Go and show yourself to the priest. You'll be healed." They were. Time after time. He didn't pray. When he saw the devil, he didn't pray him out. He cast him out. Come out of him. And he did. He spoke the word. It wasn't prayer. It was speaking the word. He just said it. He just said it. And so, that's fifth. That's one way you can get your healing. The sixth way is believing prayer. Now you notice I did not say prayer. I said believing prayer. I know people that spend more time in prayer than I do, but they don't ever get their prayers answered. If you were to go to the mountains of Tibet and you were to ask the monks up there who were working with their prayer wheels. That's all they do is they pray all day long. They just pray, pray, pray. Say, "Do you all believe in prayer?" "Well, we sure do. We're committed to it. It's our life." "Do you ever get your prayers answered?" "Well, no." But they pray and they believe in prayer. And that's the way church people are. They pray and they pray and they pray and they pray. They don't ever get their prayers answered. Now, that's stupid. I think if I prayed, 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 never got my prayers answered, I'd stop and say, "Hey, I'm doing something wrong." There's no sense in continuing to pray if you're not getting results. Find out what you're doing wrong. Jesus said in Matthew, the 21st chapter, the 22nd verse, he said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, it shall be done for you." In Mark 11, 24, he said, "Whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." It is true that prayer works, but it only works combined with faith. It's believing prayer that works. Just plain old prayer doesn't work. And most of the praying, I'm sorry to say this, but most of the praying that is done in most of our churches is ineffectual prayer. It is double-minded prayer. It's not based on the Word of God. And they are prayers of hope rather than prayers of faith. Prayers of hope do not touch God. Prayers of wishing do not reach the throne of grace. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that would come unto God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 6. You cannot reach God's throne apart from faith. And so it's believing prayer that works. You believe that you receive when you pray. All right, now let's go to your Bibles and go to Mark 11, 24, and let's look at that verse for a minute. Mark 11, 24, and would you read it aloud for me? This is one of the most powerful verses in the Word of God when it comes to receiving from God His promises. Read with me, please. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Now I want you to take the comma that's between the words pray and believe, and I want you to take it out of there. The verse does not read, most people read it like this, "What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." That's not what he's saying. He says, "What things you desire, when you pray, believe." When do you do your believing?
When you pray.
When you pray, not when you receive it. You see, if I was sick, if I had, suppose I had an infirmity in my arm here, suppose I had a boil on it or something, And I prayed and I asked God, Father, I want you to heal that for me in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden the thing left me. I don't have to believe it anymore, do I? I know it. I mean, you say, did you get healed? I say, yeah. How do you know? Well, you can see right there, it's gone. Say, I've been healed. It's gone. I don't have to believe it anymore. I don't need any faith anymore. I have the physical evidence right here. Do you see that? You need your faith, you see, when you haven't received it yet. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. That you do your believing when you pray, not when you see it. And if you will do your believing when you pray, then you shall have it. It may come in the next few seconds. It may come in the next few hours. It may come in the next few days. It may come in the next few years. But inexorably, it will come. It has to. Jesus' promise said, it will come. Ye shall have them. And you must fight the good fight of faith in the meantime. Now, that's a whole other subject. But okay, there are six ways now that you can receive your healing. I think it's pretty good of God to give us a selection. Now, there's only one way to get saved, isn't there? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, get washed in His blood. That's the only way you can get saved. But God, in His infinite goodness, has given us six ways. And isn't it amazing that most churches don't think there's one? Six. Anointing with oil. Praying with agreement. Laying on of hands. Gifts of healing. This is the one now that is as God wills. All the other five are as we will. Just plain saying it. And believing prayer. All right, let's talk for a few minutes and that we have remaining. How to minister these things to other people. First of all, if you're going to minister healing to somebody else, you must know the healing promises from the Word of God. You must know the Word. We've said over and over and over again that apart from the Word, there is no healing. And if you're going to minister this blessed promise, then you must know the Word or your ministry is not going to be effective. We've said that the way it comes is by faith. This is healing through the vehicle of faith. And the way you build faith in a person is how? By hearing the Word and through the ministry of the Word. And so you must know the healing promises. Now, many people I know have taken the blank pages on the front or the back of their Bible and have just listed healing. Boom, 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 boom. Listed the 25 or 30 scriptures on healing. So that when you get into that situation, you've got it right there and you know where it is. And listed out baptism in the Holy Spirit. Listed a half a dozen scriptures or a dozen. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they're right there and they're available to you. So you must know the promises. Secondly, you be sure that you're operating in faith yourself. If you're not really sure whether God's healing today, it's not likely that you're going to help somebody else get healed. You go into a quiet place and get your Bible and get your own faith built before you go out and try to tear down the devil's work on healing. You be sure that you are walking in faith in this particular subject. You'll remember what happened to the disciples in the 17th chapter, I think, of Matthew's gospel, where the father brought the son that was epileptic to the disciples. And Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with James and John and Peter. And this epileptic boy, the father wanted deliverance for the boy and healing. When Jesus came down off of the mountain, he saw this great crowd that were milling around, and the father, when he saw him, came running to him, and he said, Master, Master, I need your help. I brought my son to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. What did he say was wrong with them? They were faithless, you see? He said they were faithless. That's why they couldn't get the boy healed, because they didn't have their own faith built. And then he spoke the word to the boy. Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him. The child was cured from that same hour. And then the disciples came and they said, Master, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. See, you didn't have your faith built to the place where you could operate in these things. The power was there, it was available, but you're not operating in it. And then he went on to say, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The only way you're going to have faith, you see, is by being attentive to your own spiritual health. You don't do all your prayer. You see, you can't go. And this is a lot of Christians make this mistake. that don't stay built up in the Word. They don't pray in other tongues every day like they should. They don't stay prayed up. They don't fast as a regular part of their life. And then when they encounter somebody that needs healing, they got to go on a 4-day fast in order to get their faith built up to the place where they can believe. Or they have to go and get 4 or 5 other believers in order to get enough power together to drive out a simple little dumb demon. Jesus wants us to walk every day in the power. And the way you do that, you see, is you feed your spirit, man, every day. Every day you feed your spirit. Suppose you didn't eat any food all this week. No physical food now. No food. You come up here 9 o'clock on Saturday morning and they put you out here on a truck with these railroad ties. How long are you going to last? You won't pick up the first one, will you? But you see, that's what Christians try to do in the spirit. They don't eat any spiritual food for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then boom, they come face to face with the devil, or boom, they come face to face with a sick person and the person's crying out, "Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, I need some help." "Well, I'm sorry, I can't do it." And so we must stay prayed up, you see, and read up and edified so that we're able to minister. All right, you take the patient's temperature. Very important. This is number 3. You take the temperature of the patient. A doctor does it, doesn't he? You're going to do it a different way. You're going to do it with a little different instrument. But you must take your patient's temperature so that you will know where he is spiritually. We are talking about receiving healing from God by faith, and we have to take his faith temperature. How are you going to do that? How would you do it? Ask him. Just ask him. Now, you can't ask him what's your spiritual temperature. He doesn't know what you're talking about. But you could say to him, "Do you know that God wants you well?" "Well, I hope he does." You know about his temperature, don't you? He's cold. And you're going to have to start, you see. You're going to have to start at ground zero now, and you're going to have to begin to heat him up on the Word. Otherwise, there's no sense you're laying hands on a person like that. They're going to be disappointed, and so are you. Sometimes, you see, it's good when a person says, "Would you pray for me?" Sometimes good for you not to pray for that person. But feed them the Word. You might have to meet with them 3 or 4 different times before you get their faith built to the level where they can receive. "Do you know that God wants you well?" "Well, I sure hope so." Or, "Well, I'd like to think so." Or, "Well, yeah, I do." Or, "Yes, bless God, I know he wants me well." You see, you find out something about your patient's spiritual condition and whether faith is operating. How about this one? "Well, what scripture are you standing on, brother?" "What?" That's the way they'll look at you. Just, "What? What do you mean? What scripture are you standing on?" They don't know what you're talking about. So you know where they are. There's no sense you're laying hands on them. They better be believing Mark 16, 17, 18, or you're not going to get anything. See? If they're not standing on some part of God's Word, they're not going to receive that healing. "What scripture are you standing on, brother?" "I'm standing on Matthew 18, 19. If any two should agree on earth as touching anything, it would be done for them by my Father. And I know if you'll agree with me, I know God's power will touch me and I'll be healed." Well, you better get ready to pray because that person's ready. You see, take their temperature. "What scripture are you standing on?" "Well, I don't even know what you're talking about, standing on a scripture." Or, "Well, I don't know a scripture to stand on. I don't know how to..." So you get your Bible out and you share with them some scripture and you look for one that lights them up. "Oh, yeah, I see that one. That's one they can stand on. That's one they can stand on." If they like the anointing scripture, then tell them how to call for the elders. If they like this one down here about just saying it, then you show them how to do that. Find out where they're standing. All right, how about this one? This is a good one. If you don't know where to go and you just want to take a shotgun blast and find out where your person is, you just ask them like this: "What do you want the Lord to do for you? What do you want the Lord to do for you?" Now get in the habit of asking questions like this: "What?" Say, "What?" "How?" "When?" "Where?" "Why?" People can't give you yes or no answers. They will give you really what's in their heart. You see, they have to open up. That's called open-ended questioning. And they'll give you an answer, you see, that's a part that's not a yes or a no. Now if you say, "What do you want God to do for you?" you'll be amazed what you'll hear. But you'll find out whether they want grace to die, whether they want freedom from pain during the surgery, or whether they want instantaneous healing so they don't have to go to the hospital. What do you want the Lord to do for you? Ask them where they are so that you know what you're praying for. Now, you may have to minister deliverance during your ministry. And if you'll read through the gospel ministries, you'll see that Jesus, time and time again, in order to get people healed, if you're going to operate in the healing ministry, you're going to have to do battle against demons. We said that the source of all sickness and disease was the devil. We said last week that there was not necessarily a demon resident in every sick body. And don't you misunderstand what I said. We said that Satan had perverted creation, and that people get sick just because they live in a perverted world. But there are diseases and sicknesses where demons have attached themselves to bodies. And if you're going to minister healing, you're going to have to get them delivered. You're going to have to cast those demons out in the name of Jesus. We're going to talk next week about how to do that. How do you minister deliverance? It's no great mystery. We'll look at the scripture on that. But Jesus, in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in the 17th and 18th and 19th verses, Jesus' ministry of healing and deliverance is recorded here. And it says, he came down from them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. That sounds like a healing service, doesn't it? And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Demon spirits had them bound, and they were healed. Read over in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke also about the woman that was bound 18 years with a spirit of infirmity, and Jesus commanded that she be loosed from that spirit. So you're going to have to know how to minister deliverance if you're going to operate in healing. Oftentimes when you find a person who is sick or diseased, the first thing you do is you cast that demon out in the name of Jesus, and then you lay hands on them and you pray for the healing power of God to flow into them and correct any damage that the devil has done. And so you do two things. You see, you deliver and then you pray for healing. And it's a combined kind of effort. We'll talk more about that next week. Remember to be open to the gifts of the Spirit while you're ministering healing. You need the word of knowledge operating on occasion so that you'll know how to pray. You need the word of wisdom, which gives you guidance and direction to know what to do. I know Lee has told me on many occasions over in his office. Now, Lee is a chiropractor, and he's treating the sick all the time. And that God will show him what to do, how to treat these people, to pray for them and to treat them. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, not only for professional people, but just for ordinary believers as well. You be open to that. Okay, I think we'll stop there because we have run over a little bit. I'll talk to you next week just a little bit about some obstacles, things that hinder healing, things that obstruct the promise of God. We know that God heals. We know He wants everybody healed, but we also know that everybody doesn't get healed. Why don't they? Why don't they get healed? Why is it sometimes when some people get healed and then they lose it? They get good and healed, or they get good and delivered, and the first thing you know, they're back in the same pot, in the same stew pot again. How do they get like that? We want to talk about that just briefly at the beginning of our session next week, and then we're going to go on to deliverance, coming against the devil and setting people free. That's the ministry of the body of Christ today. And then we'll be finished up with our ministry series. Any questions about what we have discussed tonight? Does that help you to, do you feel like you know more about ministering to other people? Healing? There are many people who are sick and need this power of God ministered to them in this way. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We know that the power is the word. We believe you, Father, that as your word goes forth, not only as we're teaching it, sharing it tonight, but as we have opportunity to share it and declare it, that your word will produce health and that it will produce healing, and that you will be glorified in it. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being the channels through which this blessed promise and this wonderful blessing can flow to people that are bound. In the name of Jesus, we give you our thanks. Amen.